I want to start with a very familiar passage of Scripture. And the reason why I want to use some familiar passages is because sometimes we can get distracted with learning the new information that we don't hear the revelation from the Scripture. And if you don't know the people and the characters and the setting and what all's going on, or you maybe haven't heard a story or you don't understand a story, you're so focused on just trying to comprehend what the biblical events were that you can miss the hidden revelations and the purpose and the intent for the Scripture to begin with, and the reason why it's in there. So I'm going to start with Mark chapter 10, verse 46, and I'll start reading. It said, "Then they reached Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. And a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road." Now it says in verse 47 that when Bartimaeus heard, underline that in your Bible. Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, as soon as he heard the word, he began to shout and call out to the word. And at the moment he did that, some events transpired. The people around him. Now watch. It said the crowd followed Jesus. So these were followers of Christ. These so-called followers of Christ tell the man who's crying out, "Be quiet." Many of the people yelled at him. And then something happens to Bartimaeus. And he says, the Bible accounts that he shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Took it up a notch. And then it says something here that you need to underline. It says, when Jesus heard. Underline that. Jesus heard him. He stopped. Tell him to come. Tell him to come here. So see, when the word hears you, faith in that word causes that word to speak to you. Once you hear it, he who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, then you get healed, then you get the miracle. See, the word heard the cry of faith. And whenever the word hears a cry of faith, remember, he's a living word. He's a living word. The word is not dead. Just because Jesus is in heaven, the word is still alive. So when you cry out in faith, the word is there to activate. It's there to hear. And when the word hears, somebody say faith has a voice. And when faith speaks and it has its voice, every time it speaks out, the word hears and the word responds. Now you say, what do you mean by that? Well, look what happens. So he cries out, the word hears him, and the word speaks to him. Actually, I don't know that he spoke to him. It spoke to the surroundings around him. Tell him to come to me. Who was he talking to? The followers that were telling him to be quiet. So Jesus spoke to the distractions. See, when you cry out in faith, the word hears you, and the first thing the word will do is speak to the distractions that are around you. Speak to the hindrances that are in your life that are coming against you. In this case, watch this. the crowd who was against him turns to him and says, cheer up. They said, come on, he's calling you. Now, 10 seconds ago, they're telling me, shut up. Keep it down. Now they're wanting to encourage him. What changed in a matter of seconds? Did it take hours? Did it take days? Did it take seconds? All because a man, something happened in here that changed from a voice to a voice of faith. And when the voice of faith spoke to the word heard him, and the word immediately started working on the people around him to give him favor. Now the people that were holding him back were saying, no, come on, we got to go. We got to help you to get to the thing that you're crying out for. Somebody said, God will turn it around. Keep tracking. Come on, he's calling you. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. Here's the part I like right here. He gets to Jesus. He's just cried out. He says, Jesus says, what do you want me to do? Now, see, most people will read that and say, what do you want me to do for you, Jesus asked. Like, what do you like? What do you need? You don't think Jesus knew what he needed? He's God in the flesh. So that's really not what Jesus was asking here. He says, what do you want me to do? My rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, go. For my faith has healed you. My power has healed you. My touch has healed you. My anointing you with oil healed you. What did it say? Your faith has healed you. Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. When you speak to the word in faith, you open up a dialogue in the spirit. And from that moment, you're coming into agreement with what that word says. And what you're saying is, I understand how it works. I don't have to depend on anything but this word. I don't even have to depend on the people around. Matter of fact, the people around me are distractions most of the time. But when I have a true voice of faith that calls out, that word then is obliged to speak to me. And when the word speaks to me, it's already done. Because he called out in faith, and he called him and said, what do you want? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do for you? In other words, you've already done this in the spirit. What do you want me to do for you? He said, I want to see. Go. Your faith, you already did it. You got it. I've been walking with these guys, this whole crowd, preaching for days. You get it in a few seconds. So go ahead and take your miracle. Some people, it takes a lifetime to learn a simple faith message. Blind Bartimaeus, a quick study. Now, you have to understand, I believe blind Bartimaeus has heard him before, or he certainly heard who he was or what he does, because otherwise he wouldn't address him as, oh, son of David. See, when he said son of David, what he did is he said, you're Messiah. You're the long-form Messiah spoken about in Samuel. You're that one, and I see you. I don't see you with my eyes because I'm blind, but I see you with my eyes of faith. See, something happens in you when faith is working. Understand, here comes the word to heal. It comes to him. He's calling out to the word, and everyone that's supposed to be a supporter and a follower of that word is pushing him down. Now, I can tell you, for most people, you would have given up. He was a beggar. The one thing a beggar never wants to do is offend people, because they'll mark him and avoid him. Let me put it this way. How many of you, when you're in a parking lot and you see the guy coming towards you, he's usually got a sign, and you know he's got a story with that sign, and he comes towards you, what do y'all do? Man, y'all take off running, get in that car. How many of you to pull up the stoplight and they're standing there holding the big poster board in there? Please give me money. Bless the Lord. Blah, 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 blah. And what do? All of a sudden, for some reason, you have this affinity and this deep interest in what's in the center console. It's like, I have to clean it out now. I don't stay too long because he might make eye contact. We know how we treat beggars. So it's already a tough road to plow. You understand what I'm saying? So the last thing a beggar wants to do is to offend the people that are taking care of him. Now, there are a lot of theories. If you study this out, I have studied out many, and I've heard many philosophies and theories. He's the only one that's named in the New Testament actually by name, is the man who got healed. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. He is identified. Bartimaeus means son of an honorable man, or honorable son of a man. See, we know that before, Bartimaeus could see. And now he's, I want to see again. So that means he had seen before. So picture, he was in a place of honor. And his affliction took him out of that place of honor. That's a low place to be. To the point it appears, we don't know, but it appears like this is all he has. To the point where it says he even threw his coat and took off. That was maybe the only coat he ever had. He wasn't concerned with the coat. And if you want to see the takeaway message, everybody likes to focus on the part, wow, blind Bartimaeus got his vision. Praise the Lord, he got it. But was that really the real mission there? If you'll read through the rest of the verse, it said, then he started to follow Jesus. He became a disciple. And I can't help but think that the followers were there that day, learned a valuable message that you don't kick a good man when he's down. When someone's reaching out in faith, you don't suppress it, you encourage it. You help and lift up. So this real story of calling out in faith started because a man wanted to see again. But in that seeing, I don't have time to go into the teachings of Plato, and Timaeus is also one of the greatest teachings of Plato. And in Plato's thing, which would have been the kind of the mainstay of the day, it's making a depiction and a dichotomy of those who can see in the natural, or they are blind spiritually to spiritual things. All that's playing in there too. Just don't have time to go into all that right now. But just know there's a lot happening in this scripture. And I'm trying to fill in and fortify it some for you, so it's not just a little Bible story, but it's a place where we all live. Because the whole goal there, yes, the healing was important, but the soul was the focus. And at the end of the day, he followed Jesus. He didn't just get his healing, but he followed. Now, some of the things going on here. I said faith had a voice. Say faith has a voice. Now watch this. When blind Bartimaeus first cried out, things got worse. How many times have you started doing what you thought was spiritually correct? I'm going to straighten this. I'm going to clean this up. Feel the Lord spoke to me on this. I'm going to get this stuff right. And you start doing what we would call good, right? And you're doing what's right. And things get worse. Oh, nobody in here? Y'all need to get saved. Because I'm telling you right now, every time I try to get something straight and try to get it cleaned out, it's like I get punched in the head. I get kicked. And the first thing that most folks want to go is, well, he must be doing something wrong. Well, what if he's doing something right? Now, I'm not, you know, when you're doing something wrong and all the things that come from wrong, you know, the wages of sin or death, I'm not talking about that. But what if things are going wrong and you're doing everything right? I've seen people over and over and over with tears in their eyes come to me and say, Bishop, I don't understand. I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I'm doing this and I don't understand why are things getting so bad. Well, see, you still got one more time. See, that's a perfect time. You can lay down and you can give up and you can quit and you're right. You're right. No. You're right. Or you could give it up. And you could say, I'm not giving up. As a matter of fact, now you made me mad. You know, I was already having enough trouble dealing with the things I'm dealing with. But now you done made me mad, see? And then Bartimaeus said, now I've had enough. Now I've taken all I'm going to take. You people are talking to me in a way I don't want to be talked to. Devil's trying to stop my blessing. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do it more, and I'm going to do it louder. You think I was bothering you before. You wait till I get done. I'm going to tell everybody. You think you're going to shut me up? I'm going to talk louder than I've ever talked before. I'm going to tell every person I see. You can't keep me down. And then when I start talking like that, I got a voice of faith now. Because now I'm in faith and I'm not in my flesh. And when I get in faith, that word hears me. And when that word hears me, it has to speak to my circumstance. And when that word speaks to my circumstance, all those folks, all those distractions, all them things that have been pulling me down, they have to turn to favor. Why? Because it's not just about me getting the thing I'm asking for. It's about me trying to follow Christ. Mm. Somebody say faith has a voice. He cried out louder, and he got results. Sometimes you have to push past the pressures of the people's opinion in your life. I'll take that drink now. Thank you. You was right in the middle of a shotgun blast. I didn't want you to get hit, you know. James 1, chapter 3 through 8, says, for you know when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, and you'll need nothing. God's got a plan, and faith works that plan in your life. If you need wisdom, just ask our generous God, and he'll give it to you. He won't rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, listen to me, do not waver. For a person with a divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave at the sea and is blown and tossed by the sea. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord because their loyalty is divided between God and the world and they are unstable in everything they do. So here's blind Bartimaeus, who was a beggar. Everyone else saw Jesus, but he only heard. And so he heard the word. And those could have, who actually saw Jesus, listen to this because I'm talking to somebody. I believe that a lot of people that saw Jesus got distracted in what they saw. They were so focused on seeing a miracle or what's Jesus going to do next that they forgot the whole mission was they were supposed to follow Christ. And they were so busy looking for the miracles and looking for the stuff that he did, they didn't listen to the things that he was telling them. Now, how could you say that, Bishop? Because a man needed help and they were telling him to shut up. A man was trying to get saved and they were telling him to be quiet. You don't want to get so focused and so mission-minded that you're trying to see the project or the thing done and you forget the people who were involved in the project and what the project was for to begin with. That's probably a whole nother sermon, but it just was right there, and I just had to see it. Faith has a voice because it draws attention to the word in your life. It brings the word to you to speak to you, because once you speak to it, it speaks to you. And it's that faith is what brings the miracle. There's two sets of eyes, what is and what can be. Most people walk around with the what is. This is how it is, and this is what I'm trying to deal with. When you're in the eyes of faith, you're not looking at the what is. You already know what it's going to be. So you don't pay it. You only pay attention to the what is for navigational purposes, because you don't want to run in or over somebody in the process. But you're not paying attention to that thing that is. You're paying attention to the thing it's going to be. You're paying attention to what you already know, not what people have already said. Are you following me? If the word's already told you what's going to happen, if the word has already spoken to you about something, that's what it is. And you have to see it that way. And if you see it, you will say it. And if you say it, then finally you'll say it enough until you see it. Matter of fact, you don't stop saying it until you see it. But once you see it in faith, then you'll be it. Not only did he see it by faith, but he, listen to me, became it by faith. Not just the healing, he became a Christ follower. He became someone who wanted to be the Word made flesh. Are you listening? Guys, these are deeper meanings, I know, but some of the stuff we have to dig a little bit deeper. We just can't read it. It's an average Bible story. Now, I also like this translation. I like to read it in the New King James Version because it kind of sets it as a matter of fact. Because here, the same scripture says, when you ask in faith, there can be no doubting. And it says, if you do, if you have any doubt when you're in faith, it says you're double-minded and you're unstable in all your ways. Unstable in all your ways. So listen to this. If you're unstable, instability leads to inability. And a lot of times we're not able to do things because of an instability in our life. Because if there's even the most tiniest speck remote of doubt about something in your faith, it's unstable. Matter of fact, you have nothing to stand on. I don't know about you, but I don't stand on unstable things. If I'm going to climb on a ladder, I don't get on them jiggly ladders. Some people get on there, men are all over the place, and they're hanging on the wall with one. I'm not getting on that ladder unless it's still or somebody's holding it. Pardon me, but I like stability in my life. Why? Because I don't want to fall. I don't want to get hurt. And so when you're operating in faith, you have to take away the doubt. And I'm telling you, the enemy will use the people around you. Watch this. Even the Christians around you. To create that instability that leads to inability. Wow. Anybody getting this? So when I look, I read Mark 9. Well, let me give you this first. In faith, it's either yes or no, right? And I'm going to give you Hananism. It says, there's no maybe in faith. Because you'll ask people, oh, maybe. No, there's no maybe in faith. It's either yes or it's no. In Mark 9:14, and when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around him. and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" The one who was in the crowd said, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who's a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him, and foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered them, "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear you? Bring him to me." And so they brought him to him. Immediately the spirit convulsed, and he fell to the ground, wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. But as often as it's from him, it'll take him from the fire into water and try to destroy him." But listen to this. He said, "If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help him." So he's standing to the word, but he's saying, "If." Have you ever made a prayer, "Lord, if you can just help me? If." So he asked the Lord, "If you can do anything, have compassion and help us." So Jesus said to him, "If you can." See, he said to him, "If you can," he said, "well, if you can, if you can believe, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes." And it said, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "I believe, help my unbelief." See, sometimes you got to get to the root. Jesus could have just said, "Come out and be healed." But in everything, words are important because they tell us where we are in our faith. And he looked at that man and knew already what the problem was. The problem was he had doubt in his heart and he was unstable. So we're in the same situation, aren't we? Got another guy. You know, his son had been sick since childhood. You know everybody in there. You know, it starts getting on people's nerves. It's the same people always just talking about the same thing. Wish my son was healed. Wish this was healed. Wish, you know. After a while, so it creates a distance. You know, you can imagine what he was living in, living under, how he was feeling. And then he brings him to the disciples, the people of God. And he said, "Can you cast this devil out?" And they could not. Wow. They could not. And then Jesus says, "But if you can." Are you guys getting this? The disciples couldn't do it. Jesus didn't do it. Jesus said, "If you can." He said, "I believe." You can if you can believe. I believe. Now what he asked you to do, help my unbelief. What was the problem here? The problem was he had unbelief. And if you're trying to pray for my kid and I can't agree with it because I'm out of faith, I can't blame you for praying for him. I could be here all day on this, so I got to be careful because I don't want to spend too much time here. But picture that father who's had his hopes and his aspirations. He's with Jesus and the crew. He's with Jesus and the church. And he goes up to the church and he asks for prayer and they fail him. Most people are not going back to that church. Most people are not coming back to talk to the pastor. But this man had one more time. Sometimes when you've done it, and you've been there, and you've done it. Have you been? I've been prayed for. I've been spoken. You got one more time? Because if it didn't take one more time in faith, he never would have got to the root of his problem. And it never would have been dealt with. And can I say, if it was a problem there, that there was a lot of other problems that weren't discussed. So Jesus didn't just heal the boy. He gave that guy his life back. He gave him his authority back. He gave him his power back. That's restoration. That's what the calling of Christ is. It's not just about the thing that needs done. There's always a bigger picture. Blind Bartimaeus, he needed his life turned around. He needed to follow Christ. This man had some roots in his life. He couldn't even have authority over anything in his life because he was a doubter. Now, if you had asked him, he probably would have told you, no, I believe. No, you don't. Because Jesus called it out. And so sometimes you got to read a little deeper to see ourselves in the Word. And can I say this? There's a lesson you need to take from this. I'm taking from this. Sometimes you can't be persuaded by the failures of others, even if they know the Word. That's for somebody today. I don't know who that's for, but it's for somebody. There comes a time when you get a full revelation and realization of the possibility that stands before you. And when you get it, it's like your entire being gets involved. And, you know, you've been doing the usual thing, and because you've been doing the usual thing, and you pray a certain way, you do a certain way, you do the usual, you get the usual results, which means it's not working. And so if you want to acquire a different result, you have to take a different approach. So can you believe? And if you can believe, you're going to have to do it one more time, but you're going to have to go straight to Jesus. You don't have to depend on somebody. You don't have to ask for brother, you know who, and sister, you know what. You just need to go straight to the Word and speak to the Word, and the Word will speak to you, and then you have to do what the Word says, which is believe. And then not only will he reveal the thing that brings the thing that you desire, but it will change your whole life, which is the bigger picture. I'm going to move past this. I'm going to close with this. I usually don't do this, but I feel compelled to do it today. I saw something on Instagram, and if you saw it, that's great. If you did see it, please don't spoil the ending for me. But it was a little story a preacher on there told. And I'd already prepared my sermon. I thought, that's right in line with what I'm preaching. And so I just want to tell it because it inspired me, and I hope it inspired you. But it was a story about a man who went to an art museum. And he was part of a tour group. And the tour group was going through the exhibits. And when they went by one of the exhibits, there was a painting, a big, beautiful painting. And it was a painting of the devil playing chess with a man. And they were playing chess together. And you could see the man had his hands in his hair with the look of devastation and defeat on his face, and the devil was leaning back real smug with that grin on his face like it's over. And the name of the portrait was Checkmate. And the group was studying it, and then the group started to move along, but there was one man there, and the guy who was watching, telling the story, noticed. He said the man kept standing there as the tour group was moving on to the next painting. So he eased up over there and he said, "Do you like that painting?" He said, "Well, there's just something wrong." He said, "What?" He said, "Well, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm a world-class chess champion." And he said, "I've been studying the chessboard, and the figures on the board, and I'm watching this man struggle with defeat against the devil." And he said, "What's the problem?" He said, "Well, the problem is there's a problem in the portrait. He said, what? He said, well, like I said, I'm an expert chess player. I'm a world-class chess player. And I just happened to notice that when I was studying the position, that one or two things is going to have to happen. He said, what? He said, you're either going to have to take this painting down or you're going to have to change its name. He said, why? He said, because when I looked in there, he said, I see that the king's got one more move. See, if you got one more time, the king's got one more move. You think you're a checkmate, but God's ready to check you out. You understand? You just, that's for somebody. Somebody here, you think you're at the end, you're just at the beginning because God's got one more move. But my question is, do you have one more time? Now, if you do, faith has a voice, and you got to let faith call out right now. You call out in faith right now. You cry out in faith right now. I'll guarantee you, if you cry out in faith right now, that word will speak to you, and what you declare will come to pass. And one of the first things that will happen, he will start to deal with the circumstances in your life. Somebody say, the king's got one more move. It ain't over yet. Matter of fact, it's over, but it ain't over for you. It's over for the devil. Somebody hearing me today? Something's about to change. Who wants that word? Who is that word for today? I just want to know, who am I preaching to? Who is that word for today? Remember, when you cry out in faith, the word speaks to you. And then, if you can believe, if you can believe, not doubting, not being double-minded, you don't want to be unstable. Can you believe? Because I'm telling you, in your life, there's nothing that can keep you down as long as your faith has a voice. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Come on, give him a big praise in here this morning. Talking about a God that's turned everything around in your life. Tell you, God who just took what couldn't be and made it. Who spoke to the thing that was not and called it as though it were. Just happened. In my practice, in the preaching, in anything I do, I've always tried to be results-based. If I see results in something, then I go with it. If I don't see results in it, I know I'm probably wasting my time. So today was not just about trying to get you spizzed up or get you, it's about results. Now, I'm serious when I ask you, who is this word for today? You take this word, and you do what you learn, and you will have what you're believing for. Somebody say, today's the day. Today's the day I'm free. Now, if you believe that, celebrate God right now. Today. Come on, one more time. Tell him, say, I got one more time. I got one more time. I may have to ask 100 times. I may have prayed 100 times, but I'm going to go one more time. Now, if you're in here today and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, you need to get that done. Because that's the one thing that will turn your life around faster than anything you can ever do for the rest of your life. So if that's you, I'm going to say a simple prayer here in a little bit. And we're all going to pray together. We're just going to pray out loud. And I like to know who I'm agreeing with when we pray. I'm not going to embarrass you or call you out or anything. I just like to know who it is that I'm praying with and for. But if that's you and you'd say, Pastor, I'd like to give my life to Jesus today. Let's get that handled. Let me just see your hand real quick. I just want to see who you are. Just lift up your hand for me so I can see. Don't be afraid. I'm not going to embarrass you. You're in here. Where are you? focus. I got to take a minute. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that hand. I appreciate you being honest. I know sometimes it's hard because we're so used to the opinions of people. But in every story you heard, in a get to a place of faith where something needed to change, they had to quit worrying about what the people around them were thinking and doing. Once they did, faith had its voice. So I'll ask you one more time. Thank you for being honest and raise your hand. Is there anyone else you'd just like to say? Again, I'm not going to embarrass you or anything. I just want to know who you are because I'm going to pray in a little bit. Is there anyone else that wants to say, this is the first time I'm going to ask Jesus into my heart today? Okay. Yeah, I'm good with that because that's what I had. I had one. Now, if you're in here today, and for whatever reason, you just got a little off track. Man, been there, done it. We've all done it. But you know you need to get back. Today's your day. God wants to put it right back where it was. I'm not even going to ask questions about it. He just says, come back. So in that prayer, you're going to be included. So if that's you, let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. Thank you for those hands. Man, thank you. Thank you for being honest. Because once you put your hand up, you're just telling God, God, I give you permission to do it. Because he's not going to do it unless you do. He's a gentleman. But if you raise your hand and you ask him, he'll come to you. So that's what we're going to do today. Okay, you can put your hands down. Thank you. Now the last one is you may have been one of those I was preaching to today. Man, seems like I'm trying to do everything right, but everything's getting wrong. I've been believing and I keep reaching out, but I keep getting pushed down. And I'm the one that wants to give it one more time. Now, if that's you today, raise your hand because I want to know who. Yeah, that's it. There we go. So we connected with the house today. Okay. So in this prayer, just notice it's a prayer of faith. And as soon as you say amen, it's on. So you walk out of here with your head high because where you didn't have favor, you'll now have favor. Where you didn't have a way, there will be a way. When you were in an impossibility, somehow a possible way, a possible something will show up in your life. Just be looking for it. I'm just telling you. So right now I want to do exactly what I said I'd do. I want to pray for you. So just bow your head. Repeat after me as we pray. Pray in the Spirit. Say, Father, I ask you to come into my heart. Fill me. Cleanse me. Make me every bit whole. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. And I believe you're sitting in the throne room of heaven and you're waiting on me. So Lord, because I believe this, I'm a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, now all things are new in my life. I'm a child of God. Heaven is my home. You are my Lord, and you've got another move for me. I believe it. I confess it. Now I receive it. In Jesus' name, that settles it. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, everybody, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Man, oh my God, somebody say one more time, it's my time. This time, say, this time's my time. This time is my time. Guys, I want you to be encouraged this week. There will always be pressures out there and forces that are working against you. But with that knowing that there's also a God who is bigger than any of those things. Aren't you glad we serve a God that's bigger than our problems? Come on, give the Lord a hand clap praise one more time. Please.